Welcome to the Foundry Church. You're about to hear a message from one of the team. We really pray this message makes a difference in your life. If you want to find out more about Jesus, church, or who we are, then visit our website www.thefoundry.org.uk after you've watched the message. Here we go!
What is prayer? Stale tradition? Ritual? A good luck charm? Part of some religious checklist done to appease a higher being so we can get what we want, or at least avoid the lightning bolt. Prayer has been redefined and twisted and confused, but at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God, the God who spoke the universe into creation, who gives us life and breath, who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him. In the vastness of all that exists, he actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God? Wherever we are, how can we not thank him for what he's done? Or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formula. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence, because Christ has torn away the veil. He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come. His will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. Hi, my name is Tosin, for those who don't know me, and I'm going to be bringing the word today. And I've titled it The Atmosphere of Prayer, or Creating an Atmosphere of Prayer. And I think that video has actually just summed up my message quite perfectly. So yeah, really, really thankful to God for that. So we're in part two of our How to Pray series. Adam started us off really beautifully last week. And so I'm going to be taking the baton from there today. So the text we're going to be in is Matthew 6, 5 to 6. But before I go into it, I just want to set the scene as to where we are in the Bible. And so this text is actually part of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. And that's probably one of Jesus's greatest teaching, and probably his most greater teachings as well. So it's early on in his ministry, and he's teaching his new followers, you know, the kind of life and the traits that are expected and required of them as his followers. And so we see him talk about forgiveness. We see him talk about loving one another, including our enemies. We see him talking about giving generously, and then he comes to prayer. And that's where we are at this morning. So Matthew 6, 5 to 6, it's going to come up on the screen, and it says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." Now, I'm going to be focusing mainly on verse 6 today, but I think verse 5 is so important as well. Because what Jesus is doing here, he's challenging his new followers, not critiquing, but challenging their motives behind prayer. And he's saying to them, you know, when you pray in the synagogue, which would be our church now, Are you praying so people can see you and call you holy? Are you praying so you can be praised by people? Or is it an expression of your heart to God? Is it out of your devotion to God? Or is it just a religious observation? But, and I think what's so important, why it's so important to us now is sometimes with the business of life, we can get into that routine and prayer just becomes just that, something we do just because we're Christians, we're told to pray. But I believe that God's heart for us and what and Jesus's heart for us in this text is he's saying we should approach prayer as a relationship rather than just religion, not something on our to-do list, but actually because we want to talk to God. And straight away, I want to clarify that Jesus isn't condemning public prayer. He's not saying, you know, don't come together. This morning, we've come together as a church, you know, to pray. And I believe that there is a place and there's a power when we as the church come together to intercede for one another. But I think what Jesus is laying emphasis on today, in this text, is the importance of praying alone, the importance of private prayer to God. And the NLT commentary on this verse says this. It says, the essence of prayer is not in public style, but private communication with God. And what I love about Jesus is he doesn't just talk the talk, but he walks the walk. And so he's teaching us from his own personal experience of private personal prayer with God. Right before he's speaking this, he's actually just come out of 40 days and fasting in the wilderness, alone with God, alone with the Holy Spirit. And he knows, you know, firsthand just how important these kind of prayers are, that right at the start of his ministry, he's teaching us and instructing us to have these kind of prayers with God. And so throughout the Bible, we see so many verses where Jesus goes alone to pray. In Mark 1:35, it says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. In Luke 6, verse 12, it says, one day soon after, Jesus went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. So throughout his ministry, throughout the Gospels, we see in so many instances that Jesus relied on these prayers with God. He relied on, you know, the private prayers, private time with God. And he relied on it, you know, for power, for sustenance, for strength, and for guidance. And these are all the things that as his followers, he knows that we're going to need. And where do we get that from? Private prayer. And so I look at my life as well, and I remember, you know, being a young Christian, and prayer was, it was a to-do list. It was, you know, something to tick off my to-do list. Well, I've done that today. You know, we're taught to pray. You know, my parents taught me to pray. My Sunday school teachers taught me to pray. But as I'm growing in my relationship with God, I'm finding that prayer is more than just asking for my wants and needs, but actually it's become a beautiful experience. It's become a place where I meet with God, my Father, and I can pour out my heart to him, and I can see him change me and transform me. And Adam talked about this last week, that prayer can change our situations and our circumstances, and it does, but ultimately prayer changes us. And I've seen that firsthand. You know, prayer has changed my desires, it's changed my wants, it's changed my appetite and my cravings, what I want from life, it's changed my focus, it's changed what excites me. And I believe that that's what Jesus wants us to experience in prayer. And so I wrote this, that prayer is that vehicle that takes us from where we are to where God wants us to be. But also I believe that prayer is a privilege. 1 John 5 verse 14 says this. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And I think that's such a privilege that we can bring our requests, our prayers, our worries, anxieties, even our joys, you know, to God, and he hears us. The God of the universe, you know, the God who can do everything and anything, and he hears us. That's such a privilege that we have, and it's because of Jesus that we have that privilege. And lastly, I believe that prayer is simply showing our dependence on God. And to live this Christian life, to live life the way God will want us to, we need God's help. And prayer is where we go to receive his help. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says this. It says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." And I look at my life again and I know that, you know, it's in these prayers that I've gotten God's wisdom and his guidance. It's through private prayers that I've drawn and I've drawn from God's strength, you know, when I'm weak and helpless. And it's even in these prayers that I've learned to trust God more and more as I've seen him move in response to my prayers. So there is definitely something amazing about prayer. And I believe that's what Jesus is showing us today. And so as we go back to that text this morning, I want to show how we can apply what Jesus is teaching us about personal prayer to our day-to-day life. And so what I've done is I've broken that verse 6 into 5 subheadings. And the first one says this, "Go away by yourself." Now, I love how the Message version puts it. It says, "Here's what I want you to do." This is Jesus speaking. "Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Be there just as you are." Sorry, "just be there as simply and as honestly as you are and as you can manage." Now, I believe that we can pray everywhere and anywhere. God is everywhere and he hears us. But that daily communion with God, it needs to be somewhere that we can just be ourselves, somewhere where our spouses can hear us, where our children can't hear us, maybe our housemates can't hear us. You know, just a place where it can just be us and God. And for some of us, that could be, you know, the shed. It could be the basement. It could be our bedrooms. It could be the spare room. It could be our car on our drive to work. And one of the preachers that I listened to, her name is Heather Lindsay, and she said that right after uni, they call it college in America, she got an apartment with a friend, a one-bedroom apartment, and the only place that she could find to pray alone was in her bathroom. So her bathroom became her prayer closet. You know, for me, sometimes it's just washing the dishes, maybe closing the door. Peter and Nathan are in the living room and it's just me washing the dishes or cooking and pouring out my heart to God. As long as we have that place where we're alone and it's just us and God. And sometimes it might mean, you know, walking away. For me, sometimes it's running away from the business of the day. Sometimes it's stopping our day in the middle, maybe having maybe during our lunch hour, you know, it might be waking up early in the morning before everyone else wakes up or staying up late when everyone is asleep. But it is getting away, you know, from life so that we can have that time with God. And sometimes it will be that we'll have to plan it. You know, we'll have to set a time apart and be really protective over it because there's so many things that are vying for that time and our attention. But I believe that's what God is saying as Jesus is saying, as he says, "Go away by yourself." And that leads into the second part where he says, "Shut the door behind you." And again, you know that God is here and he is leading me, because how amazing was it that our question was, "What is it that distracts you?" Because that's what I've got. You know, remove any distractions. So for some of us, it's our Xbox. For some of us, it's our phone. It's TikTok, like we mentioned. You know, but I think most times it's our thoughts. If we think about it, we come into that place of prayer and then we're thinking, "Oh, what am I going to have for breakfast? Or what am I going to have for lunch? Or what the kids going to take, you know, to school? Or how's my day going to go? How's my day been?" But actually, shutting the door behind you means forgetting about everything else, forgetting how your day has gone or how it's going to go if it's in the morning. Shut it all out and just focus on God and let him be your audience. And then the next part says, "Pray to your Father." And I love that Jesus doesn't say pray to God or pray to the creator of the universe, but he says pray to your Father. And this for me just screams intimacy and reminds me of a verse that says, this is Romans 8:15. It says, "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father." So I want us to see prayer as us just talking to our good Father who longs to hear from us. And that's what prayer is. It's simply talking to him. We don't have to complicate it. It doesn't have to follow a particular sequence. We don't have to sound like our senior pastor or like our friend or our connect group leader. Real honest prayers. I believe that that's where God is. And for me personally, I think of the times where I've just poured out my heart to God, not caring about, you know, whether my words sound right, whether I'm theologically correct or not, or whether I'm quoting a verse, but just pouring out my heart to God. And that's where I've seen his presence and felt his presence the most. And so that's all that God requires, that we come as we are, just honest, real, and simple. And then the next one says, God sees everything. And when we hear this, it can bring a sense of gloom or doom. You know, God sees all our wrong and he sees our sins. But actually, I don't believe that's God's heart today. When Jesus is saying God sees everything, he's saying he sees our hearts. He sees our motives. He sees our intention. He sees our hurt and our pains. We don't have to have the right words. We don't have to say it perfectly. He already knows. A couple of verses down in verse 8 of this same chapter, it says, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. And so we don't have to role play before God, because he already knows. But what I love is that he wants us to still come and ask. And as a parent, I mean, Nathan's not talking much, but sometimes I know he wants something. Maybe it's a pacifier. Maybe he wants, you know, a bit of biscuit. But he will come to me. I know that he wants that, but I love that he comes to me. And I think that's God's heart, that he longs to hear from us. He loves you and he wants to hear from you. You know, he wants you to bring your problems to him. We don't have to hide anything from him because he already knows. And the last one says, he will reward you. And I love the sound of a reward. I mean, who doesn't? And you know, we could read this verse and it could sound like the reward is an answer to a prayer. But I believe that it is more than that. That God wants to give us more than that. And one of my favorite worship leaders, William McDowell, he says this, the reward of worship, the reward of prayer is God. The reward of time spent with God is his presence. And so answer to prayer is great. I believe that God wants to give us something greater, which is himself. And he did that when he gave us Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave his only son. And I believe that he wants to give us more of himself every day. And so here are just some of the gifts that we get when we get God's presence. The first one says freedom, and 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so this is freedom from bad habits. This is freedom from old habits. This is freedom from condemnation. This is freedom from that sin that easily trips us. Where God's presence is, there is freedom. And then it goes to joy. Psalm 16:11 says this, you fill me with joy in your presence. And in these times, it's joy that we need, not happiness, but joy that lasts through whatever it is we're going through. And then this peace. In John 14:27, Jesus says this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And especially with the year that we've had, you know, peace is something that we're looking for. And Jesus is giving that to us as we come to him. But one of the greatest gifts that we can get from God as we come into his presence is that he changes us. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and the Lord who is a spirit, he makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So I believe that God wants to give us himself as we spend time with him in prayer. And so as I wrap up this morning, I want to read to you two of my favorite quotes in prayer. These quotes encourage me when I don't feel like I need to pray, or don't feel like, what if my prayer is not doing anything? So this is the first one. And Max Lucado, I hope I'm saying that correctly, he says this, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Your prayer does make a difference. And the second one from John Wesley, he says this, God does nothing except in response. to believe in prayer. So I want to leave us with this today, that there is power in our prayers. Whether you've been a Christian for 30 days or for 30 years, God moves in response to your prayers, not the prayers of your pastor or your Connect Group leader, but in response to your prayers. So we can go boldly today into his presence in prayer, knowing, like that verse said, that he hears us, knowing that he longs to hear from us. He wants to hear us. And so my prayer today is that as we try and put private prayer, you know, try out private prayer, navigate through private prayer this week, maybe for the first time, maybe we've never, you know, spent that time with God just in prayer, you know, or it might be for the millionth time or the thousandth time, but I pray that as we spend time with God this week in private prayer, that we would see him move in a new way, in a dynamic way, in a mighty way, and that we would be encouraged to meet with him day after day, and see him move in our lives and change us and transform us into who he's created us to be.